As we meditate and share your word this morning, Lord, we pray that, Lord, your presence will dwell here, that we will be fed, and by the time we leave this place, your glory will shine upon us. Thank you for this opportunity, and we pray that we shall fulfill your purpose for the now. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. My name once again is Godwin Chidozie Ogeni. I'm privileged to be here. And as my brother Sam Ike said, I have known him all the days when we're in the campus. I serve you, Enugu State, under Governor Sullivan as Commissioner in charge of Human Capital Development and Poverty Reduction. I count it an honor to be here today, and I can tell you I've been so wonderfully ministered to. I just ask that the Lord Almighty will keep you and keep the fire burning in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to congratulate the young people that came out finally for the altar call. And when they were coming out, I remember in those days, the day I had that encounter. One challenge I had that day was, you are born again. You are supposed to live without sin. How would you do that for 1 week, 1 month, 1 year? I was wondering how that's going to be. And I had a friend then who labored to bring me to the Lord. And he used to say he's been a Christian for 5 years. And my heart would cut. How would I do this thing for 5 years without failing? I don't know if anybody had that thought. If you're born again, you would have had that thought. So I want to encourage the young people that came out today that there's an easy way. And I'm going to tell you that easy way. I got born again on the 9th of April, 1978. And that, I think, is many, many years back. Many people here were not born then, I'm sure. Some of them started smiling when I mentioned the date. The beautiful thing is that if you are truly born again, it's not a walk. It's a lifestyle. The problem we have trying to live a Christian life was when we try to define what Christian life is. Just like I sat down there, and I'm not counting the number of times I have had a breath, I have to take in the air or take it out. I do not know how many times I blinked my eyes, because it's a natural thing to happen. People have problem with the gospel because they don't understand it. You know, when we come out sometimes, they say, give your life to Jesus Christ. But that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, I came to give you life. He didn't say, I come to take your life. And so many people get scared. When they say, come and give your life, they say, which one will I have again if they take my life? But if you understand that what the Bible says, it says, lay your burden. Take my yoke. For my yoke is light and easy, isn't it? So he's giving you, he's not taking from you. You will understand that. He said, the life we live is no longer I, but Christ that lives in me. So what he's talking about is allowing Christ to live in you. Then you're not going to struggle whether you're going to be a Christian for a day, or 1 year, or 100 years. All you do is every day release yourself and allow him to do what he knows how to do best. And when he takes control, struggle will cease in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm taught to share with you today about ministering to those in high places, reaching out to those in high places. And I think my work has been made so easy because the Lord has finished the work, isn't it? I just felt like coming here and say, let's pray and get out of here, because whatever more can I say than what God has said? And if you are sensitive in the spirit, you would have been so blessed today. You know, one assurance I have which propels me every day of my life is the presence of God, the assurance that it will be there. However, I have a good news for you. Let me start with that. You know, the Lord is bringing about a revival again in this country. You know that? This morning, I came with my friend and she's sitting down there. And this morning, she opened her phone to show me Boko Haram went to church, killed everybody, bombed the place, killed the redeemed pastor, and you know, dismembered his body and abducted some people. It brought pain and tears in my eyes. But then I can tell you one thing the Lord is doing. We have been so complacent in this country. We've been sleeping, and many still down here are still sleeping. So the Lord is bringing about the fire of persecution to waken us up. Because if we don't pray, if we don't waken up, more things will keep happening. Check the church history. It grows under persecution. You may think that it's outside people, you know, doing this and that. I want to inform you, what is happening is a contest for the soul of this nation. It's a contention for the soul of this nation. Where do you stand? Where are you? It may not be our church, and by the grace of God, it will never be ours. But for every soul that is killed and shed blood in the name of Jesus Christ, that blood continues to cry. And the only way that blood will rest is when those of us who are still on this side can wake up in reality and begin to intercede and ask God for his intervention in this nation. I can tell you, it doesn't take God 1 second to stop Boko Haram from operating. But the church must get up and pray. If this church here will start it, it will spread, it will go to other places. We'll carry that message that the time for revival and refiring has come. And those who think they can be Christian and non-Christian at the same time, you may not know where you will be. If you are fighting a civil war, you know who you're fighting. But you're fighting a terrorism, you don't know where it can happen. So I want to tell you the good news is that God is calling us to refire ourselves and to be ready and to contend for that which has been given to us. Is anybody still in this church? Praise the Lord. I thought you had gone home. Now, we are talking about ministering to those in high places. I don't know why Professor Sam invited me to share this, because I don't know what to tell you. I try to search the scriptures, and I try to look at those who've ministered in government, who have influenced nations, and there are so many. But I know, sitting down there, the one that comes to everybody's mind so quickly, maybe you think of Joseph in Egypt. And the Bible told me that when Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt, that was not the day he started the ministry. Are you following me? Joseph had been in incubation. He had been following a trend. He had been walking through a process. And at each time, he recognized the presence of his God, even in the time of most uncomfortable situation. You don't understand what I'm talking about. You are relating with Jonathan's wife. Patience, good luck. Her word is almost a law in this nation. Am I right? So you have opportunity of patience saying, just be my friend. If you be my friend, you can understand. This new list of ministers, your name will be there. Are you following me? If you want to lift oil, in fact, not to lift oil, I'll give you oil well. It will take few men to say, Madam, no. Am I speaking your mind here? I say, after all, everybody's doing it. You know, it's just once. And once I give that thing, I won't go back again now. But Joseph said, no, Madam, I won't do it. So when we preach and look at what those men did, we want to bring it in context where we are today. You may look at it that it was adultery she wanted him to commit. But there are some other sins we do today for those men in authority, and we think we can do and they will favor us. Adultery is no greater sin than lying, is it? How many of us will not say, okay, Joseph didn't agree to defy himself, but I can tell one small lie. So we need to weigh in our conscience and see how far we are going, even in the places God has called us to minister. The second blessing that will readily come to your mind, perhaps, will be Daniel. Am I right? And Daniel served through many kings, not just one. And the Bible said he was perfect in all his ways because excellent spirit was found in him. The spirit of excellency was found in him. I try to look the word excellency. It is not only a spiritual goodness that depicts excellency. It is perfection in service. It is skill for delivery. It's efficiency. It's effectiveness. Okay, you are not working with good luck. You are not working with Sullivan. So it doesn't concern you. But wherever we are, at whatever point we are serving under somebody. Am I right? Do we have the skill that when that person is in need, he can think of no other person but you? Are we so skilled that we make ourselves so indispensable that any day we are not in the office, that person feels incomplete? I always tell people about leadership. A leader is that one who's able to make you do what you don't think you can do. And after you've done it, you come back and say, thank you for making me do this. What does that mean? He's able to open your eye to see what you cannot see. And he's able to guide you to do it. And not to do it out of pain, but to do it in such a way that when you come back, you're able to see the reason why it ought to have been done. How many of us are leaders here? I usually tell you, even if you don't believe you're a leader, you are a leader because you must lead yourself. You don't want to lead any person. You don't want to be in politics. You don't want to be involved with this mess. You must lead yourself. And when they finish messing it up, you step in it. So to avoid rendering any mess, get involved and clean it up. So when we think of those in high places, every high place starts from where I am today. And from there we will move. I want you to read with me in the book of Daniel. Let me just take off from there. Chapter 6 from verse 19. Maybe I'll read it so we can go very fast. He says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. You can imagine if Daniel had been one useless commissioner or one useless minister, and they say they have thrown into the lion den. Would the king wake up very, very early in the morning? Would he go with haste? You know what it means to go in haste, to run. Big men don't run. They take their time. But the Bible says this man woke up very, very early in the morning and he ran in haste to the lion's den. Listen, that is the most believing king I've ever had. I've ever heard about. He saw, he knew Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. That creation was not done there. It's been there and many men have been devoured. So it is known to the king that lions eat people, especially hungry ones. And when there are many lions, because they lion then, there was not one lion, many lions were there, and only one man was thrown there for feeding for the night. And yet the king woke up very early and ran to the place and listened to what he did. When he got there, he said, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? It will take a madman to talk to a dead man. Am I right? So for the king to cry to Daniel means that he believed that the God of Daniel, Ab Initio, was able to deliver Daniel. That is the hidden king. For him to go there to call on Daniel means he knows that this God Daniel serves is a real God and he can deliver. If he never believed, he would never have gone there. He would have been mourning. And no matter how much he loved Daniel, he would have told them, please gather the bones for me. At least let me give him this last honor as a friend. So whenever I look at that word, then I know that Daniel's ministration was impactful. It was impactful because it was that ministration which nowhere in the Bible did I see where they told me Daniel preached to the king. But he lived a life that convinced the king that this my God is more than enough.
My God is more than able to deliver.
His life spoke.
His daily living, his communication brought about the glory of God to shine. And the king could not fail but take notice.
And there's something different about this man. You know, whenever I read this, I look at my own little life and I wonder, God, what am I really doing? I hope if they ask Oliver, what of Godwin? He can say, yes, I know him to be an upright man. I know him to be a Christian. So, the first thing we need, therefore, in ministering to those in high places is communicating a lifestyle. A lifestyle that every day communicates God, that shows the presence of God. That lifestyle is a lifestyle that shows that in service you will have commitment. You have a vision. You have an understanding. You can turn things around. Wherever you come, things change. I'm not saying this because I'm opportune to preach here. In the little office where I occupy, I tell them that my name is Godwin, which means I must always win. My other name is Chidozie, which means that wherever I come, things must turn around for good. I get this here. And I try to live that life. I try to prove that it works. You know, the Bible told me that them that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploits.
When Daniel answered the king, the Bible did say that he told them to make haste to bring out Daniel. And they brought him out.
And he says, from this day on, all the nations around under which I have authority must worship who? The God of Daniel.
Any man that bows down to any other god. Remember, this is the king they told, we all are here to worship you. Any man that worships any other god.
I said, he could be a robber.
The king has seen that there's really a God, that I'm not God. And he now said, that glory you want to give to me, I'll direct you to whom it belongs to.
May my life communicate such powerful message for our God, that the nations can be turned around in Jesus' name. So, on one stroke, Daniel converted the whole kingdom to the God of Israel.
You can imagine if every day they give Daniel one assignment, Daniel will not come back. They ask him, Daniel, where were you? So I went to pray. That's why I didn't do the assignment. Next time, Daniel, go to this place. So I cannot go to those hidden people. They will corrupt me. Daniel, deliver this thing I told you to tie for me, sir. I'm working on it.
Some of us are like that. At every time, in fact, I tell those working on them, I say, most civil servants spend more time preparing the reason they will give you than using the same brain to do the assignment. They prepare the answers and keep it. Once you come and say, why is this? They will deliver a speech showing you why that thing couldn't have been done. And I say, this thing, this same brain you used to formulate this lie could have been used to deliver this assignment. They prepare the answers and kept it because they don't. I don't know. I think it's demonic. So what I'm saying here is that when God calls us, He gives us an opportunity. An opportunity to bring His name, glory, that will turn around the lives of many. We are talking about election next year. Many of us are praying, but many are there who could come out and they can make the difference. And I will always tell you, it is easier to confront a born-again Christian and say, you said you are a Christian. Why are you not doing this thing? Do this, it will be better. Than to go to an unbeliever with trembling knees and say, Honorable Commissioner, Honorable Governor, or Your Excellency, the President, we are praying for you. Please, you can't even quote the Bible. You can't confront him. But the man who is claiming to be the child of God, you can go and challenge him with what he claims he is. Which one is easier to do to get the result? Is it to speak to the Christian or to pray for the unbeliever to know even the mind of God and to even allow you to come and see him? Which one is better to do? Are you here? Which one is better to do to the Christian? And I can tell you, this gathering makes the body of Christ. You don't even need any other person outside.
All of us here
can change the direction of this state. You don't believe me?
We can change the direction and decide who become the governor of this state next year. It doesn't matter what has been written. It doesn't matter what has been discussed. It doesn't matter what has been agreed on. If the Lord says so, no man can say otherwise.
The church has the power to change every situation. But it does appear to me that many times we don't understand the enormity of the power we carry.
The church has the power to determine who becomes the president, and it will happen.
Because if my people who are called by my name, that is a commitment God is making of himself. If my people, not if unbelievers, and yet we sit down there thinking that there are people who can change the situation for us. No, sir. The Bible says that from the time of creation till now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and only the violent take it by force.
What we want to see in our state, what we want to see in our environment, what we want to see in our neighborhood, you as the Christian can become the catalyst. And you can bring it about. Can you say amen to that? In this government, I'm opportunity to serve. We ask people to bring pressure on us to perform.
And some who have heard me speak, some know that I'm not saying this because I'm in the church.
We ask people to make demand of the government. Make demand. Push. Get that which is rightly yours. That is the ministration you have.
But unless we know that we have the right and the power so to do, we will not do it.
But I thank God also that this is a congregation that you are not talking to people in the lower class. You are talking to people who also occupy places of authority.
And I'll tell you, let's start from that. Ministering to the people in high places. A few days ago, made it 1 year, I was in ICU, intensive care unit here, for a week plus. And I had a surgery that almost took my life. So I thank you that maybe some of those who helped in Darella and Darelli to save my life are here.
But even outside that,
I was in that hospital for more than 1 week. I cannot remember anybody saying he came from this chapel to pray for me. So, where do we start? This is even the immediate environment God has given you. You don't know the number of people that come here. You don't know the people that come here. And that many the devil want to take to hell here. And you can save them. Even if they're going to die, they can die in Christ. I came with somebody and that person will testify. I died and woke up. My doctors gave up. They didn't think I could make it. God came and tapped me and said, Godwin, if you don't pray this night, you will die. You are dying this night. And I had to wake up. I didn't know how it happened because I was helpless. Tubes were coming out from everywhere. But I knew that Godwin had to wake up and fight. And I knew that a fight happened. Because when I woke up in the morning, one of the doctors came and said, Honorable, you look so different this morning. And asked him whether he goes to church. He said, yes. He said, do you know God? He said, yeah. He said, okay. Have you ever fought a spiritual battle? He said, no. I said, I just came out of it now. So if I look different, it's expected that I should look so.
Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, to minister to men in high places, I think the first ingredients I have mentioned is that you must know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you do not know that you have more authority than that man. And so when you approach him with trembling. The second thing you must have is a character that speaks of God every day. It's not when you want to go and minister to that man, that's the day you start preparing. Today I'm going to see my organ. But all along, the organ has been seen as a organizer. That day you are going to be a holy merchant to go and tell him Jesus saves. He will be looking at you. In fact, he will remove his eyeglass to clean his eyes. To ask, what am I seeing? What am I hearing? The third thing you need is efficient service. That even your work itself can communicate Christ. That people begin to ask, something is different about this lady. Why is she like this? And others say, oh, you don't know him. Or you don't know her. She doesn't joke with her God. Do you know that if you do your work so well, that even when you get up and say, I'm going to do this in church, they will say, go. Because you would have impacted that man's life, that woman's life. Maybe you've been in trouble, you're the one that prayed him out. Maybe you've been in trouble, you're the one that communicated, ministered to him what to do, gave him wisdom and advice what to do. Maybe somebody in that office was about to die and you prayed and something happened. Tomorrow, I beg, leave him, let him go. That one is doing for us is important. In my own little way, I handled internal security in Enugu State, and all kinds of chiefs and all kinds of ogu, and they carry it to the office. They have all kinds of quarrel. And every day asks God, how do I handle this one today? How do I know those that come with ogu? Once I suspect you, I will shake you. And once I shake you, I will feel it if you have anything on you. And I will always advise you, if you want this thing to work, go outside and drop it. Because if you stay in this office for 25 minutes, it will not work again. And I will think, we're joking. We're not joking, because it is real. And sometimes, even as little as I am, they will come, and God will just give me a word of knowledge about this person. And then maybe there'll be a crowd, arguing and making, and then you just start telling somebody everything about his life. When you finish, argument will cease. Everybody say, okay, anything you say, we are going to obey. Because it's obvious to them that you never met this person and you would never have known this person. The Bible says, let men sow us as ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God, custodians of the mysteries of God. Let so men account of us. Wow. Whenever I look at that passage, he said, let men. That means on daily basis, as I walk about, as I go, those who are in the school chamber, everybody must know I'm a Christian. When we go on the business, we finish. They know where to stop. And I'm not joking. They say, okay, you go. We'll finish with you. We want to finish other business. I lose nothing. And when they say, oh, this man must get this one. They find you calm and cool. In fact, one of them asked me, why are you not trying to get the thing that belongs? I said, if they belong to me, they should give it to me. No, but that's a fact. If they belong to me, they should give it to me. Because the work incidental to this office, nobody calls me in the morning to remind me that I have to do the work. And I promise my organ, he does not need to call me. And he has never called me for once for the past 3 years plus. To say, God will, why is this thing not done? To the glory of God. I told him he can go to sleep. Don't bother about this one. If I do that, without him worrying about how, whether, did God will remember to go and inaugurate the neighborhood today? Is he looking after? If he doesn't want to worry about that, then I shouldn't worry whether they should give me what he do to me when he's due. If they don't, I will go and tell God. And he will tell them. And some issues have happened like that. And others were given. They were given land. And I'm a surveyor. And I surveyed for government for free. And they didn't give me for a long time. And they were wondering, wouldn't they give you? I said, I don't know. I've written a letter. And they were pushing me. Go and talk to him. I said, why should I talk to him? I come from Ihamufu. We have more than 50,000 hectares of land. If I don't find one anywhere, I'll go to my village and leave. People will always hold you captive when they think there's something you need. But if you show them you don't need anything, nobody will have anything for which to brag for you. It doesn't come easy. Who wants to come to that point where you care about nothing more in life? Can I see your hand? If you really come to the point where you care about nothing more in life, you really believe it? Let me take you to the route. I've been a former millionaire. Did anybody hear that? I have tested money. I've gone around the world. Reverend Nick, you know, unfortunately, is gone. I've lived almost all parts of this world. God took me so high, so early in life. And when he thought I was beginning to know something, and maybe I wasn't listening, because he warned me 3 times, don't leave Nigeria and go and stay this way. I didn't hear it. He started dealing with me. First of all, I went in England, stayed there, come back, went to US, did this. So he kept warning me. And when I didn't hear, he started his work, because you must hear. If his hand is upon you, you must hear him. And when he started his work, I was weeping like a child. I was crying, I was struggling. Until the day he told me, this is me, God, doing it. I said, Father, no problem again. The only problem you have is that I'm going to hold you on your trouser. I will never let you go, no matter what you do. He did everything he could do to a man and finished, and there was nothing left. You know, there was a thing to think, when this one done, nothing more. But when God decided to bring you to the point where nothing will matter, I hope you'll be prepared for it. Because it will not be sweet. But it will be the most beautiful experience you will ever have. I wrote a text to a friend. I said, he started, he removed the clothes. And I started crying, God, I'm naked. I said, okay. He removed the flesh. I said, Daddy, it is painful. Then he crushed the bones and grinded it, and there was nothing left. You can't even talk at that time. And then he will start afresh. I was like a man who was staying in a very deep hole. He started putting a ladder, and I was able to peep like this to look at the world again. That's the God we're talking about. When we've gone through that, you can say with confidence, when I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort me. Because then death will mean nothing to you anymore. Because you lost everything you can ever lose. There's nothing more to lose. You have no shame. You have no ego. You have no pride left. The challenge we have where we cannot communicate Christ. I say this as I'm speaking here, even if I'm in ESCO meeting, because there's nothing more to lose. Are you following me? When you have finished at that level, there's nothing you're looking for. There's nothing you're searching for. And I'm so happy because it gives me absolute boldness. And it makes you realize that whatever thing you held important does not mean anything. I pray that many will come to experience him in a way that you can say, yes, God is enough for me. If God is enough for you, if they tell you, go and tell Governor Sullivan this, you wake up and go, what will he do to you? Even if he kills you, you have died before. You don't know that some people have died and they are still alive. You don't know it. And when God is on a thing, he will finish what he started. The problem some of us have in that encounter is that somewhere along the line, we want God to stop. And when you stop, you will need to start all over again. You must give him chance. So being born again is the most elementary part of what you come in contact with God. It's just like a newborn baby say, I'm born again, therefore I can run. Run to where? Paul says we speak wisdom, not the wisdom of this world. But we speak wisdom with them that are matured. You need to come to that level of maturity when you can preach this word. Not because it's a letter, but you preach the rhema. This is logos, isn't it? The written word. You preach the rhema. When God revealed to you in the now what he's doing. Now, when I am anywhere and you are planning something in Sokoto, more than 3 ministers, 4 or 5 ministers, even if I'm going to have malaria next week, more than 4 or 5 ministers outside anywhere in the world will be calling those, you are likely to have malaria tomorrow. Because at this time, your life is in the radar. That's just like aeroplane. Are you following what I'm talking about? That is the beauty where God wants us to come. And when we come there, then ministering to those in the high places becomes a natural thing.
It is not a struggle. It's not a program. It's a lifestyle. Let's see what the Bible says again so that we can build our faith on the Word of God, not on what I say. Please, I won't read many of these passages so we can run. But Philippians 1, 27 to 29. Please, can anybody just read it for me? Another person will read for me 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 4 to 7. Anybody who finds it?
Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God.
Thank you.
You know, he said, many of us do not understand that if you are going to preach this gospel, there will be an opposition. Not being frightened by those who oppose you. When you want to minister at those places, people may look down on you, they may think you're not, what is he trying to say, what is he doing? There will be opposition. As far as this gospel is concerned, there will be opposition. But the Bible says, in all times, in all situations, holding firm, presenting yourself, that men will know you. This one is a Christian. It doesn't matter what they do or what they say. But wherever you are, let men know you as a child of God. I have lived in this country. When if you see a Christian, you will know this one is a Christian. This time you see a preacher preaching, you are not sure whether he's using juju or he's really a preacher. Isn't that a most difficult situation to be in? Before, when you even in a bus, how many of us there were Christian? How many of us have, when you hear one man is a doctor and is a Christian, we will be going to the man as if this is the end of the world. When you hear one brother is now a lawyer, all of us will go, now God has produced innumerable lawyers, doctors, all kinds of professionals. And yet, the impact of the Christian is diminishing. It's because and because of that thing you're looking for, you are not bold enough to declare the whole counsel of God. That's why I'm telling you about allowing God strip you. When he finishes, then you will not be looking for any other thing because nothing will matter. And then you can use the opportunity God has given you to minister, and your ministration will be effective. Let somebody read that second passage for me. Who has it? Hallelujah.
My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power.
Praise God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 4.
He says, but his preaching is not in the eloquency of man's word, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. He said the preaching of the gospel is not in mere words. It's in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. Men and brethren, there's power. There is power. And that power belongs to us. Every power the juju man and Ogboni people are using and the occultic and the native doctor is a borrowed power and are subject to God. And the Bible says even the wrath of man, even those who will equally glorify him, he even uses them to show forth his mighty power. Because when the juju man has finished all his things, done this and done that, I want to kill her, he finds you're still alive. He demonstrates to him there's a greater power. So even his activity brings glory to God. Only if you know God, you will not be afraid of them. The Bible said that the preaching is not in word, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. Two things. How do I demonstrate the Spirit of God on my daily living? If you go to where the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, am I right? The Bible enumerated 9. How many? 9 what? You know, gifts of the Spirit. When those things are manifesting in your life, it means that when I meet my worker or anybody within that office, the word of knowledge in me will reveal what his problems are, isn't it? The power of faith in me will heal him and will deliver him from troubles. The word of prophecy will reveal what is happening in his life. Tell me how such people will not honor you and tremble when you mention your God. But we have left the key things and we are chasing things that are not important. God sent the Holy Ghost in us, and he says it comes with 2 things. The gifts, which are the 9 operational gifts, and it comes with the fruit. If you are living and the Spirit is living in you, it will bear fruit. And the fruits of the Spirit are this. And after naming them, the Bible says, against this there are no laws. Faith, joy, love, long-suffering, endurance, all those things. These are the fruit that people are supposed to see out of us. If you work in an office and people see this every day, he's not ruffled, he's not worried, every situation is normal to him. He does not speak evil of any man. He doesn't gossip. He doesn't quarrel. He's not cantankerous. You are demonstrating the love of God. You are demonstrating the power of God every day. I can tell you, when they need a man, even if you are not there, they will say, go and call him. He will make the difference. Am I speaking your mind here? These are the routes we must take if we want to reach out to those in high places. If we want to minister to them, if we want to make a difference. And why do we want to make the difference in them? It's not so that he will love me. It's not that so that he can like me. It's so that I will lead him to my Christ. And when I have led the man at the high place in Christ, then you see that you have solved the problem of many people. Or the possible that you can come to my office looking for what you need and you're thinking of whether you should bring bribe. Or the possible. That problem has been solved. Because even down the line, just my hearing in the ear that my director or this way took bribe, the man will refund it and will be punished. So when we pray for those in authority and when we influence them and exhibit Christ, a lot of people's problems are solved. When we influence those in authority, what it means is that when they serve, they don't serve according to the letters of the appointment. They serve because they know that they are there representing a God. And that man is the higher authority. For some of us, I will tell you just, I think I still have 1 minute. I will tell you just how I became a commissioner. At a time when it did not make any meaning, it does not look impossible. There's nothing anybody should desire. Look for me, a former millionaire. God, I was in a church, and the man of God was ministering, night vigil, and he came to me, say, my son, why is everybody carrying gun chasing you around? What did you do to them? I don't know. He started telling me all my problems. I said, Pastor, hold it. I know all my problems. What I don't know is the solution. Reciting them doesn't change the situation, sir. I know these things they're telling me. What I've been looking for is the solution. Because which man of God now? You go to some, they say, carry this man away. The fire on him is too much. I don't want it to burn me. Carry him away. Challenges, problems surrounding him too hot. Don't want to waste my anointing on him. It's like they brought you to this teaching hospital and the doctors gathered and said, carry him home. What it means is that his own is finished, isn't it? But God didn't say so. So in that situation, the man of God looked at me and said, don't worry, heaven have decided to help you. I said, amen. I came again with another night vision. He said, are you not the same man? I said, I am, sir. He said, is anybody in this church? If by next year this man is not a commissioner, all of you should call me false prophet. I told the man he's taking a risk. Because I can't see how, why he's risking his position with this kind of man. And we went. And that's the word of God. That was in November. By May, they had election. By June, I saw the man. He said, yeah, the same man. I said, yes, sir. He said, sure, your man won. I said, yeah. I said, give you your position. I said, which position? He said, which one do you want? I said, you don't understand. I have not even seen Governor Sullivan since that day he prophesied 7 months ago to today. You ask me which one you are giving me. You are talking as if it's in my power to decide what I want. He said, but which one do you want? I said, Pastor, you don't understand. I have made many choices in life and I have made so many mistakes. I no longer choose. I don't know what I want. And people in the church were murmuring, this man, Anna Ajugi, they don't understand my journey. I said, I don't know. But I will remember that 7 months ago, you said the Lord said. Said yes. I said, I will stand on that unction. And he said, three others, come here, pray him into his seat. I was watching. When you have nothing to lose, you have nothing to fear. So, and they prayed me into the seat, and church dismissed. I went home. The day I saw Sullivan was the day he said, congratulations, Chief O'Gay. And that was the day we were commissioned as commissioners. So, if God says a thing, he's able to bring it to pass. And that's why if I sit down there, I'm not scared whether I'll be removed or whether I'll be retained. Because no man put me there. And that's why when I sit down there, I'm determined to do good to all men. Because I know how I arrived there. Did the devil try to do some magamago within the time? Yes. Even before that appointment, people came, oh, there are only two of you remaining now on that list. Actually, when they were told to compile list, 20 people per local government, my name was not even included. I came there and said, if we should put my name, they said, no, I've completed the name. I said, okay. You finish writing the name. You could write 20 names in my local government without my name. Say they have finished. I told him to put my name. The man asked me, Oga, you came now. If you are the one who came before, would you have put another man's name? Wouldn't you have put your name? I said, no problem. Submit the list. And then maybe the man coordinator had me. I said, okay, go and bring your name now. And see, we'll attach it. You know it's 20. But if they okay, let me just submit it. I want the 22nd name. But when they were sifting, that same God who spoken, whose word was watching. Because I tell you something, whatever God has said, he has enough power in himself to bring it to pass. But many of us are specializing in helping God. He doesn't need help. Only thing God needs is my commitment, my devotion, my worship, and my total submission. There's nothing else he needs from me. And they called me, we know you need everybody in Enugu State. This is the time to use it. Start calling the people you know. They say it's only two of you. Somebody must speak to the governor and say, you people have come again. If I speak to him, why would I know what to say to him? I know only one man. You see, who has I only know God. I'm going to tell him what he wants to tell Governor Sullivan. He'll go and find out how to tell him because I may say the wrong one. Men and brethren, that's all I did. I was on the ground. I don't under the ground first. I didn't know anywhere to fall to. So why am I worrying? I'm only saying this so I can encourage your faith. And I'm only saying that because I want you to know that the God we're talking about is the God of reality. I don't know how many of you have spoken something in your life and whether you have faith to believe him. I'm told to come here to encourage your faith that this God we're talking is real. When people confront and say, why are you not struggling for what others? I say, for three reasons. One, I have lost everything any human being can lose. There's nothing more to lose. Number two, I have come in a walk with God that I can testify anywhere, even at a God point, to tell you that this God is faithful and he cannot fail. And I have asked him, when he wants to start failing, let him not start with me. So, that's the second reason. And the third reason why I don't care is because there's nothing I'm looking for. We him natural. Challenge me anywhere. Come to my office. I'm not looking for anything. Because there's nothing I desire that his hand cannot provide. The struggle where they're going to be in 2015, and I told them, the Lord has spoken good concerning me.
He has only spoken about me. Why am I worrying? If he says it's finished, I'm a professional. I'm a consultant. I will go back doing those things. These are skills he's giving me. No man can take them away as long as I'm alive. So, if this is your journey, recently, my friend is a witness to, armed robbers stopped me. Remember, I'm the man in charge of security. And I don't go with security. I don't go with police. And one fateful day, they said I should come and do check-up for that surgery. Just the day he made 1 year that they did the operation that almost killed me. And then I came. As soon as I stepped out of my car, and my driver drove like this to go and park, a car just parked behind me. Actually, that day I was calling Dr. TK because I wanted to see him. His number wasn't there, so I tried to go and see another doctor. I said, the car passed. I just stood there, let me pee, doing the wrong thing men do before I enter inside. They parked there. When I finished, I looked at the car. That's where the doctor used to park. I just waved at him and crossed in front. As soon as I crawled like this, one young man pumped action. Jumped in front of me. I didn't even have any idea what was doing. I just waved him like they say, how are you? No, I think the man must have thought, this man is either mad or doesn't he see this gun? Can't you see I'm a thief? But I didn't know he was a thief. I didn't bother about that. I just say, like what I say, how are you? And I was going to walk between here and that altar there to enter into the house. So I started walking and he started following me. So I was just about stepping in and somebody else had opened the back door and said, shoot that man. And then the other one said, I will shoot you, Oga. I remembered vividly. If you read the scriptures, God will clothe us with the whole armor of God. But there's no armor at the back. There's no armor at the back because God never intended us to turn our back to the devil and run. He expects us to face him. So I turn around because I know here he's protected. I say, why? Why do you want to shoot me? But then his hand is on the trigger. And the gun was pointed directly. This stomach I'm trying to manage. And he said, Oga Mabakeba, Mabakeba. He said, what do you want? He said, everything. Everything. Okay. And I was wearing jeans, so my trousers were tight. I just put my hand and brought all the fools, three of them, and gave him. He said, you're back, the money there. I put hand and brought the money they gave me to go on errand that day, 50,000, and gave him. He said, the other pocket, that one has only 35,000. That's the only money I have. I said, no, please go. Please leave. Just go away. I said, leave. He looked at me and turned. Walked to the car and his friends and they drove away. And my driver said, let's pursue them. I said, pursue them to where? But I was worried, which is also why I'm sharing this testimony. My worry is that several years ago, I've had several encounters at the peak of the difficulties I told you about. And men wanted to kill me. This one wasn't hidden. They're pursuing me. And my lawyers have said, Duzi, you can't go about again. We want to get you security. And I ring for the security. Please, I'm sharing this because I want your faith to be built on this God who cannot fail. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you've known. I don't know who I'm speaking to. But I can tell you life. And I walked there. And when they were arranging this, even if you bring the security, where would I get money to pay them? I told them, wait, I'm coming. I drove to one church where I have prayed every day for more than 2 years. And I've never met the pastor of the church. And I come there every day. I say, are you looking for daddy? I say, no. The daddy I'm looking for is waiting for me. And I'll come at that altar and pour down my tears. And I'll go away. And on that fateful day, I went back to him. I say, God, you know, I'm Godwin. I'm reporting. You know, I don't know how God thinks, but we had the conversation. They said I need to get security. Would you not be angry that since I was born to this time of my life, that I have gone to go and get people to protect me? Well, you have protected me all my life. If I'm God, it's certainly going to annoy me. On the other hand, God, would you not be ashamed? If this man, since I was born, I've never gone to any other help, my dibia, my occult, my whatever. And at this time, they say they're going to kill me, and I don't do anything and they kill me. Wouldn't shame kill you? But you know, I don't know how God thinks. I'm going to do one thing, Lord. Instead of incurring your wrath, making you angry, I'm going to let you carry that shame. Because I'm going out there and let them kill me. The shame will be on your head. But I have 1,000 naira. That's the only money I have. Papa, I'm buying my life with this money. And I dropped it there and I entered the covenant with him and I walked away. And I went to where my lawyers were waiting for me and I said to them, I said, you back? I said, yeah. I said, you ready? I said, no. I have made alternate arrangements. I don't need this one anymore. Am I not alive today? And I called the people I know that were looking for me and I say, I want to see you. When they heard my voice, they say, you want to see us. You. Where? I say, come to my office. I was not a commissioner there. I say, come to my office. Say, your office. We're not coming. Remember, these are the people who were looking for me. And I said, choose the venue wherever you want. And they chose one wide place. And they said, I must come alone. Because this time they were now the scared ones. They didn't know, how come this man want to see us? I said, I will come. And I went. And the man came. And the first question he asked, you that were looking for everywhere, we can't get you. How come you now want to see us? I said, it was not you looking for me. I know the spirit is looking for me. If I allow you to catch me, you kill me. Or you send me to prison forever. I can settle the spiritual world first. Now it is a physical fight. Whatever you want to do with me, go ahead. And he said, I'm not a human being. And turned and walked away. He said, I will prove they are not a human being. He didn't believe that I was the one. Because it doesn't look real. He turned and walked away. Now, several years after, based on that covenant, since the day I was made a commissioner, I never had a police suddenly. And now several years after, this incident happens. And now my trouble is, if I now go and get police suddenly, they'll say yes. He thought he said he has faith. Now something has happened. That was a challenge I have. If I don't get one and anything happens again, they'll say even after the warning, he still refused. No wonder. He wanted to die before. Now, am I not in dilemma? So I went back to God. And I said, Daddy, you promised me there will be two angels with me every day. Where did they go that day? Where were they? But you know the beautiful thing? This God we serve is a great God. Do you know that the night before that incident happened, God woke somebody else, gave that person a dream, and the person woke his wife, said, when did you see Commissioner last? Thieves just killed him. And you were there trying to pray for him. His people didn't want you to come in. When did you see him? Is he still alive? 2 a.m. And the woman said, he said, I'm serious. So he was sweating. And they started praying that night. I didn't know I was sleeping. Early in the morning, I woke up. By the time the lady was calling me to know, it was my friend's phone she got. He said, what I said, thieves took his phone, so the woman collapsed. But what are we talking about here? God knew what would have happened. Because and God finished it spiritually. What happened that morning was just a fulfillment, a shadow. I want you to trust this God. Even if nobody has made you believe God, I'm a living testimony. God works and God is faithful. Our God is faithful. I don't care what challenge you're facing. And I also want to assure you that God spoke and said, I allow them to touch you so that we can get them because they're jigo. And I can testify that both the phone and the people who took it are helping the police now for further investigation. They are sitting down there. So God again fulfilled his word. The word of God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. So if they stretch their forth, their hand to touch the wrong person, to touch the wrong thing, they have taken an accursed thing. And that thing tracked them and got them. They're sitting down there. I don't know whether they've traveled down or they're still helping the police. And they brought and said, is this your phone? They have wiped it out, changed it. I pressed 1, 2, 3, and certain things came up. I said, yeah, this is my phone. So God can do what He says He will do. Ministering to people in high places will require only one thing. Our forgetting our life and allowing the life of God to live through us. Our ceasing our struggle and allowing Him be God. Our being willing to lose everything that His glory may show. Our ability to decide and acknowledge that we are nothing of our own. The understanding that we brought nothing into this world and we take nothing with us. The fact that God says that not one hair of my hair can fall down to the ground without His knowledge should encourage any of us here that all we need to do is to go back to Him. You know, when you cut your hair, the hair doesn't bleed. You don't feel pain. Do you? That is as useless as it is. But yet God says not one can fall down without His knowledge. If you are a child of God here, I prophesy to you that the God that has delivered me out of the mouth of the lions and the hands of the bears, that same God will deliver you from every Philistine challenging your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And today, I drove myself to this place. I didn't even come with my driver, not less of police. I don't need one. I told God that any day His angels or He doesn't have enough power to keep me, that means I have expired. And my hand and 1 million police people cannot keep me. Some of my staff in the office said to say, please, this election now, you are in charge of this security. You go to all kinds of places. You handle all these mad people, former, present, and future armed robbers called neighborhood people. You need this protection. I'll ask them, did you remember the commissioner of police that was killed there? How many policemen were with him? A truckload full of policemen were in his house. He wasn't driving himself. He has his orderly. He has all kinds of people around him. Police, this, and they killed him. The arms of flesh cannot deliver. If you want to minister to men and women in high places, let us see what God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And we'll try to round up. And while somebody getting there, somebody get me 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. And the first person is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Who's got the first one?
1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2.
Okay.
We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dare to tell you His gospel in spite of strong opposition.
Read again the same chapter 2, verse 12.
Verse 12. Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory.
These are the things that matter. That in spite of position, in spite of shame, in spite of disgrace, in spite of these are shadows. The reality is that we are more than conquerors. Did He say you will not suffer anything? In fact, the gospel, why many people are backsliding is because they don't read the Bible. The Bible, Paul told Timothy, take your own share of suffering as a good soldier of Christ. That is Ekerekedebe. Timothy, consume your own share of suffering. Many of us want only cake Christians. It doesn't work. No soldier wanting to do a good battle will train in this room. They will train in the bush. Many of us have had the wrong gospel. They tell you that once you're born again, all your problems are over. It's not true. The Bible says, in this world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. We don't read the gospel. The gospel does not promise us milk and honey. It says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But the only thing He promised you here is that you're a conqueror. In any situation, God can deliver you. But we want that when God touches us, we start crying. We even tell God we won't come to church again. I won't pray again. Aha. He says, if I'm hungry, I won't call you. The town cattle on the thousand hills, they belong to me. If one small me say, I'm revolting against God, they have been revolting since creation. Demons revolted. The Satan revolted. The kingdom of God is still there. He said the gates of hell cannot overcome it. So I want you to know that many times we think we have something that's important to God. No. God has it. He's the Gaga. We must discover who is the Lord. The last place. Who has it? Hallelujah.
Who always lead us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of knowledge of Him.
Go on.
15.
Yes.
For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing.
Okay, that's all right. The message I have here is this. The Bible says, he that doeth right is righteous. Have you read it? There are two kinds of righteousness. Imputed righteousness and the one you have to walk out. And the truth is that he that doeth right is righteous. Christians must learn to do good work. He said, wherever we are spreading the aroma of Jesus Christ. What does the aroma of Jesus Christ mean? That means if Jesus is here, the kind of thing people should feel around him. Am I right? He said that when people feel come around me, even without my opening my mouth to say I'm a Christian, they should be able to feel something. The way I handle people, the way I speak to people, the way I encourage people, the way I give things to people, the way I manage situations, he should communicate Christ to them. He said, wherever we are, spreading the aroma of Jesus Christ. So that fragrance will convince those who are in and those who are outside. And so, men and brethren, you are well positioned by your professional callings here in this institution to minister to those in high places, to minister to those who are in high places but that are today veiled. All the children you see in this hospital, all the poor men, all the people you meet, they are potential governors. They are potential ministers. They are potential senators. They are potential ambassadors. They are potential presidents. Let us see the value of man inside, not on the outside. Because when you want to reach those in high places, we'll be thinking of those who are occupying the places. Is there any professional commissioner? No, sir. It's a temporary thing. The first thing I did when I came into office to look at the photograph, these are people who have been, who and I was, and I was, and I was. In a few months, your own photograph will join them. So when you look at the real people who are in high places, the real high places are the commoners you see today. Because those that are coming, the other ones are aspiring. When we spread that same aroma and treat them as if we are treating the governor, and minister to them as if we are ministering to the president, then they will communicate. And even when we are not there, those people will become messengers. I know many of you here know the conversion of Billy Graham. And the man who held that crusade, the whole newspaper at that time reported him as the most stupid preacher, the most failed crusade, because only one small boy got converted. And that one small boy happened today to have been Billy Graham. And through him, God had brought the world to himself. So when we see a person we think of no words, we don't know what God had deposited in that person. In our work to minister to people, the Bible said, him that giveth, let him give it in love. You don't give people things. Give in such a way that the person's dignity and respect is maintained. And I'll leave you with this message. The God who has kept me and who has preserved us and who has made us unkillable, the same God will envelop you and preserve you and keep you in the name of Jesus Christ. Can we stand on our feet? Father, we thank you for the privilege of being called your children. Thank you for the beauty of your presence. Thank you for the excellency of your name. Thank you, mighty one. Thank you for these ones that have brought their knees before you today. Jehovah, I know that the same God that can do the impossible things, that same God will do that in their lives. Father, I pray that in the days and the years to come,
Let testimonies come from their being here today, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.